content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Do you want to go higher, baby? You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio, live from Dallas, Texas.
The Big D.
DFW
in the house.
I love it. TGIF, I am so ready for the weekend. Oh, my goodness.
I almost said H-E-double-L whatever.
Hockey stick.
Yes.
Are you making fun of me?
No, I almost said that.
Like, can you not
Friday,
say it?
Can we say it?
Yes, you can say hell.
Okay,
yes.
Cool.
You can say hell.
All right, then.
You can say
hell,
well,
yeah.
You can say some other things, too. There's certain words. We go through this all the time. Diamond knows better than me because she's the pro in there in the control room.
Yeah.
And she knows all the rules. So, right, Diamond?
Thank you.
Yes.
She guides me.
Yes.
But I think it's never good to be crass on the air. But
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, once in a while, I have lost my mind and said, like, the word...
I think I've been there.
...ASS, you know, and stuff, something like that. But, you
They
know,
say the D word sometimes on some of these shows.
Yeah, they do say the D word. Mm-hmm. They do.
And not Dallas. I'm not talking about Dallas people.
But, everyone, welcome to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos, and Sean Wells. I love having this guy in studio. We're going to be spending a lot of time with him throughout the show talking about all kinds of things, but you're not going to want to miss it because he is going to be talking about the top 10 supplements that you need to be taking after the age of 40. And so that's a big percentage of the population. But
that's
even before.
Aviana, Diamond.
Diamond.
Yep.
I'm so glad you're back,
yep.
Diamond, by the way. I love you.
Thank you.
She was too. She was on vacay. And
I really mean it. Like, you're a really awesome person.
She is. She really is.
Sean. Thank you, guys.
And she's incredible. She knows her music well. But, you know, there's a very big event here in Dallas starting today. It is the Best Friends National Conference. Best Friends, Save Them All by 2025. We've got Mark Peralta on the line. He is a senior director of National Mission Advancement for Best Friends. With over 30 years of experience, Best Friends Animal Society, he's been running the nation's largest no-kill sanctuary for companion animals and building effective programs that reduce the number of animals entering shelters and being euthanized. Mark brings together the organization's newest initiatives and aligns all things related to developing the knowledge and capabilities of individuals and organizations to achieve no-kill in their own backyard. Mark has also served as vice president and chief operating officer as well as interim CEO at the Pennsylvania Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. That's the SPCA, located in Philadelphia. Their website is bestfriends.org. It is such an honor to have you guys in town and such an honor to have you on the show with us today, Mark. Welcome to One Life Radio.
Thank you, and it's such an honor to be in Dallas as well, and thank you for the
yes.
cold front, you guys.
I know, right? It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're really enjoying it, like getting up in the morning or even in the evening, that nice, we're not accustomed to it here in
mm-hmm.
Dallas in July, for
80,
sure.
Yeah, I know, 85 is a cold front, like
yep.
you said.
Yeah, I know, right? Crazy.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm so excited to be there tomorrow. We're going to be there from 11:30 to 1:30, and I want to shake your hand, and all the activists at the event, some of the top activists in the whole world are going to be there talking about how to correct this problem that has plagued our nation. So many millions of animals are euthanized every year and put into shelters and never go back home and face the ultimate, what do I want to say here? Help me out, Mark.
The ultimate end.
Well, the ultimate end, you know?
Yeah.
They're gone, unfortunately. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it, maybe ultimate is the wrong word. They face a very difficult end of their life, and we want to put an end to it. It speaks volumes about our society, in my opinion, and I'm sure you agree. But let's talk about Best Friends and its mission. What is its mission?
So our mission, really, and you know, animals that come into animal shelters, about 9 out of 10 of them are healthy, treatable animals that could be placed back into homes. And our mission, and we are a national organization that's just solely focused on saving those treatable, savable animals, which are almost the entirety of those animals. Again, 9 out of 10 generally on average is the benchmark. So ending the killing of healthy and treatable animals in America's shelters, that's our mission.
Mm-hmm. And so how do you plan on achieving this no kill by 2025? I'm so excited. This has been, you know, kind of my passion for many, many years. I've rescued thousands of dogs off the streets of New York, Dallas, you know, everywhere I've ever lived. I've always rescued animals and tried to get them put back into homes. But this is a really big initiative that you guys are trying to execute, no pun intended, by 2025.
Yeah, absolutely. And honestly, it's already happening. So, you know, just, you know, over a decade ago, there were millions and millions of animals dying. Mm-hmm. The most recent data set that we had from 2018 shows that we're under a million of those healthy and treatable animals around the country. We are rocking and rolling. And how we're going to do it is we're going to keep doing what we're doing. But there's so many communities still that need to be touched, need to have education points. Help them with their adoption policies. You know, a lot of it too. And this year at Best Friends, we unveiled a community dashboard, and it's on our website, as you pointed out earlier in the intro, bestfriends.org. But basically, we are trying to put the power in the hands of people to really know what's going on in their communities. And it's not to attack or criticize their shelters. It's really to activate them to get involved and help, because all of these animals are coming to shelters. Sometimes shelters aren't great about communicating their issues, and we really need the public to understand this is an issue, and it's a solvable issue, which mm-hmm. is super cool.
Well, what can all the animal lovers out there do to help?
So many things. First and foremost, you know, only about 30% of the population still look at shelters and rescues to, you know, to get their pet, their next pet. So if you, you know, one of the things right away is if you're choosing to adopt, you have a family member or friend that's looking to adopt, please, you know, really try to push them towards their local municipal shelter, Humane Society, SPCA, or rescue group to get an animal. If they're interested in actually getting involved, obviously volunteering mm-hmm. Is a really big key. We need, these places don't generally have enough people to kind of keep up with things, and if they have volunteers, they can do so much more. And obviously donating.
Yeah.
Even if you're a city shelter, mm-hmm. donations and Friends Up groups really help supplement some additional income to get, you know, people from city shelters to things like the Best Friends Conference mm-hmm. in Dallas. We had over $100,000 in scholarships to bring people all over the country to Dallas this year. So those are just to name a few.
I love it. You know, and you mentioned adoption. So what are, you know, there's a lot of benefits to adoption. Can we talk about some of them?
I would love to. There's so many benefits. So first and foremost, you're going to almost always, with any humane society, any rescue group, any SPCA or municipal shelter, you're going to get an animal that's already spayed and neutered. You're going to get an animal that already has vaccines. You're going to get you're going to save a life, right? So, and you're actually going to save two. You know, you're saving the life of the animal that you're pulling out of that shelter, making room for another animal stay there mm-hmm. For another safe placement. So that alone are huge benefits, and just the cost of not having to go to your own vet and spay and neuter, because those costs can be anywhere from $100 to $400, depending on the vet, and your vaccines are there, so the animal is ready to go. And all of those costs up front are taken mm-hmm. away.
Well, you know, and if someone can't commit to adopting, you know, at the present time, they can always foster, because that's a huge part of the cost is housing these animals and giving them love and care until they get placed in permanent homes, right?
That's right. I mean, in Dallas, here in Dallas is a perfect example. They have a really great foster network at Dallas Animal Services. And you guys have an enormous amount of dogs and cats that come into your shelter, but mm-hmm. they're very community oriented. And it's building their capacity levels. And the best thing about it is it ties back to adoption. If you're a foster, whether it's a weekend, whether it's a week, or you could even do a month or 2 months, it's a way to help expand that capacity. And you're actually able to also communicate, like unlike our shelters and rescues, how these animals are acting in a true home, which is a little bit better piece of information for a potential adopter and helping get that animal placed in its forever home.
Well, yeah, because it calms them, gives them a sense of calm and security that they don't find
right.
in a shelter. I don't know where do I want to go with this? There's so many things that are so important about this initiative. It really does speak volumes, like I said a few minutes ago, about you know, the state of affairs in our country when we find it acceptable to euthanize a million. You say it's down to a million. million, you know, that's wonderful, because a few years ago it was as high as 5 to 7 million animals a year in this country, enough to fill, I believe it was somebody from Mercy for Animals or someone told me that it was enough to fill Giant Stadium twice to the top.
Yeah, but we're making progress, you guys, and you're seeing it in your hometown of Dallas where you guys are. I mean, there are amazing things going on, a ton of animals happening. And I would say, on another note with foster care, the type of animals, you know, looking at this dashboard on the Best Friends website is a really good key, because it also helps you understand what animals are most at risk.
Mm-hmm.
And foster care is really good for those animals because they're the ones that are going to stay there a long time.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that are most at risk. So it's usually, surprisingly, little underage kittens. Or it is older dogs, or
mm-hmm.
older cats, or cats that maybe have a broken limb that just needs some time to heal. So those, you know, this dashboard will help you interact with your own community shelter and help, you know, help you be more impactful for them and for your own community.
Yeah, you make me think of a dog that I picked up once on my way out of Houston, where my parents used to live, and I named him Barney. And he was this big old collie. He had three paws in the grave. He only lived for a couple more months. But the amount of how do I'm trying to describe how I felt, you know, giving him a beautiful and peaceful
yes.
and loving exit from the earth. You know, it was the best feeling, and there's no drug that could ever make you feel as good as it feels to rescue an animal and give it love, especially when it's older at the end of its life, right?
I couldn't agree more. I actually do that. I obviously work at Best Friends, but part of what I do on my own is just that hospice
yeah.
and senior dog rescue,
mm-hmm.
and it's for the same purpose. I want them to end their lives with love in a home. You know, these shelter workers do care, and they love their animals,
oh, yeah.
but it's still a very overcrowded shelter, so that there's just things that they're not going to be able to provide for that animal, and it's going to be stressed out. So it's such an amazing feeling
it
to
is.
Be able to provide that kind of dignity at the end of a life of an
mm-hmm.
animal.
Well said. It's so healing for both parties involved, and I cannot wait to be there tomorrow. The National Conference for Best Friends is right here in Dallas, Texas. It is sold out, and I am so glad to know that it's sold out. That means that people are getting involved, and that's our main initiative here, isn't it, Mark?
It certainly is. It's an amazing city. I'm not surprised one bit. Thank you so much. You guys have been an incredible host, and we're looking for so much fun, and I can't wait to see you tomorrow.
No, I can't wait. I'll see you tomorrow with bells on. All right.
Sounds good. You guys, everybody take care. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mark. That is the senior director of bestfriends.org. What a fantastic event that's here in Dallas, Texas. Everyone, stay tuned. We've got an incredible show coming up. We've got Scott Miners. We're going to be talking about psilocybin drug therapy for cancer, depression, and addiction. Sam Morris is going to be talking about addiction, anxiety, and recovery. And Sean Wells, the top 10 supplements when you're over 40. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. KetoMed, ketogenic metabolic nutrition. Use the code OLR for $40 off and free shipping. KetoMed.com. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. Oh, welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barriento, Sean Wells, and Scott E. Miners. He is the founder and editor at the Wellbeing Journal. Today, we're talking about psilocybin drug therapy for cancer, depression, and addiction. And I am holding it hasn't been released yet, but my personally printed. What do you call it when you get it way ahead of time, Scott?
Advanced copy.
Advanced copy. That's right. I have the advanced copy in my hand for the September-October issue of the Wellbeing Journal. It is absolutely beautiful. Mm-hmm. It is one of the coolest issues ever. I'm going to read the featured article: psilocybin cancer treatment, depression fighting fungi, mushrooms and the microbiome, and foraging for edible mushrooms. What a cool copy edition or what do I want to say?
Issue.
Issue. There you go. Sorry. It's Friday, Scott. Can you tell?
Thank God.
I know, right? I know, right? It's so good to have you on the air with us today. So let's talk about this. Psilocybin drug therapy for cancer, depression, and addiction. It's in the upcoming September-October issue. So how did you get interested in this particular research?
Oh, my gosh. I'd have to say, you know, it probably started back when I was in college, which at the time was in the 60s, mid to late 60s. And this was before the United States government criminalized such things as LSD and psilocybin. So prior to that time, starting in the 40s, but especially in the 50s and 60s, there was, which I did not know at the time when I was in college, we did not have the internet. And so, you know, everything you got information-wise was either through a magazine, newspaper, or the television, or word of mouth. But so in college, there was a lot of word of mouth about these psychotropic or psychoactive drugs. And, of course, there was a lot of partying, so-called, with them, too.
Mm-hmm.
But there were many people using them therapeutically, and there was research going on globally at the time, which I didn't learn about until just a little while ago, through reading Michael Pollan's book, which so many people I'm sure have heard of already, called How to Change Your Mind.
Yeah, I have a copy right here, and we actually talked about this as well with Dr. Dan Engel, who I'm sure that you know as well, who's studying like you in this field. And, you know, I have to say, Scott, I go back to a book that I've had in my library for, I don't know, maybe 10 or 15 years, The Natural Mind by Andrew Weil, who has sold more than 4 million copies of this book. It's a revolutionary approach to the drug problem. He wrote it, I believe he wrote this book in the 70s, and so, like you said, it's crazy to think of a time when we didn't have the internet. But before we had the internet, we had great books like The Natural Mind by Dr. Andrew Weil.
Indeed, yeah. And as you probably know, Andrew was at Harvard at the time when I believe Timothy Leary was at Harvard getting in trouble. And one of the reasons Timothy Leary got in trouble was because he had a certain amount of latitude with which he could administer LSD.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this was before it was criminalized.
Yeah.
But he wasn't supposed to give it to undergraduate students, apparently, and Andrew was one of the undergraduates who somehow was able to get it. And
mm-hmm.
I believe Andrew had, you know, what you would call the mind manifesting or mind expanding experience at that time, when LSD was being used clinically. And it was being studied at universities. And so I'm speculating, but that's probably what was behind Andrew's book, which I didn't read. I actually didn't know about it until you just mentioned it.
Yeah, it's a really good book. I'll read you just a little tiny excerpt out of it. It says, what do these drugs tell us about the relationship between mind and body? Are they, are they legitimate tools in any sense for changing the mind in a direction of greater awareness? And so, you know, I read this book, I don't know, like I think I read it about 15 years ago, and then I became really interested in it when I opened a Drift Float Spa, because there was so much of that soul searching, if you will, and mind clearing going on in the float tanks. And so that was my that was one of my big interests in reading this book. Again, I've read it twice, but you know, there's so much about this subject that we don't know. And I said this to Dr. Dan Engel, that I've actually I have experienced a psilocybin trip, and as many people report, I believe Michael Pollan and yourself report that like 85% of the people that have experienced these psilocybin trips, they are life-changing and unforgettable for your entire life. You never forget the experience.
Exactly. I can speak from my own experience to that, but of course, as you just mentioned, there's a tremendous amount of evidence from both clinical evidence as well as I guess what you'd call colloquial evidence that that's exactly true.
Well, you know, and so what are the current laws for psychedelic medicine?
Right. Well, you know, I'm not the best person to ask about that, but in reading Michael Pollan's book, you know, he covers quite a bit about what's going on. And I think recently, which we covered in the magazine, the National Public Radio reported in June sometime that the city of Denver, Colorado, and Oakland, California, the city councils, they basically decriminalized psychedelic medicine. And, you know, where that's going to go, I think, and who knows what led to that, but it seems to me that from the time I was in college and having my own personal experiences with, for example, LSD, it was not what I would call the best experience in some ways, because at the time I did not know that it was important that you have a therapeutic setting for these sorts of things.
Yeah, there was a lot of experimentation going on with LSD. And now there's the microdosing, which I know that Sean Wells, who's here in studio with us today, knows a little bit about. But, you know, that this article that you wrote for the Wellbeing Journal, Psilocybin Drug Therapy for Cancer, Depression, and Addiction. So let's talk about that. What are the implications of psilocybin drug therapy for cancer, depression, and addiction?
Well, they seem pretty amazing. They're tools. Psychedelics are just tools. And of course, the way, the outcome of the experience, it just depends on how those tools are used. Are you doing that in a therapeutic situation or not? And so in the research at universities and clinics in the U.S. and around the world, it's fascinating to find, and Michael Pollan reported this, so this is information we got from Michael Pollan's book, mostly. There's a recent TEDx talk by Rick Doblin, who's the executive director of MAPS, which is the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies. He also, when he was younger, he had tried LSD. This was before it was illegal. And his experience was such that it helped him become more aware of his emotions. And for men, maybe that's particularly important. But at any rate, he says that it's his point of view now, after, you know, he was born in 53. So after, you know, basically a lifetime of research in psychedelics, he believes they have the potential to help us, heal us, and perhaps even save us. And I think what he means by that is, well, you go through cultural stuff, I guess, as a human being. And but at any rate, yes, and like what Michael reported in his book is that some 60-80% of the patients, of cancer patients, who have anxiety or depression because of the illness or the prospects for their lives, of 60-80% of those patients who received a measured dose of psilocybin experienced significant reductions in depression and anxiety. And
wow.
Yeah, so
that's huge.
That's pretty awesome.
It is huge because so many people in this country are suffering from all of these things that we're discussing, especially depression, addiction, you know, suicide, cancer, all these things. So, you know, it was so great to have you on the show today, Scott, and I hope you'll come back. This recent issue is so amazing. It talks about mushrooms and fungi and all kinds of things, and I just thank you for being such an incredible editor and founder at the Wellbeing Journal. Thank you so much for jumping on the air with us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. May I mention something to your listeners?
Absolutely.
That if any of them would like to go to our website, wellbeingjournal.com, and scroll down on the homepage and sign up for our free e-newsletter, we'll be sending all the newsletter subscribers free access to this mushroom information on our website in about a week.
Oh, wow. I can't wait. Okay, wellbeingjournal.com. And yeah, I'm going to sign up for it. I want to know everything you guys are doing. And, you know, I've been reading your magazine from the very beginning. It's fascinating. It's wonderful. It's truthful. And I, again, commend you for starting the Wellbeing Journal, being the founder. Thank you so much.
Oh, God, it's my pleasure. And sort of it takes a person who's doing the same thing to know one, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I hope you'll come to Dallas sometime. I'd love to have you in studio for the whole hour. That would be nice.
Thank you.
All right. Scott E. Miners. Nice. He is the founder and editor at the Wellbeing Journal. Check it out at wellbeingjournal.com. We'll be right back. One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. KetoMed, ketogenic metabolic nutrition. Use the code OLR for $40 off and free shipping. KetoMed.com. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorn Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos, Sean Wells, and Sam Morris is on the line. He is the founder of Telos Lifestyle Coaching. He specializes in coaching people through the early stages of recovery from addiction. Sam is also a certified mindset coach and a certified mindfulness practitioner, a certified personal trainer, and certified nutritionist. You can find him at teloslifestyle.com. Today, we're talking about addiction, anxiety, and recovery. Sam, welcome back to One Life Radio. How are you doing today?
I'm great, Bernadette. How are you? Thank you so much for having me.
I'm good. I'm good. You know, this is a big topic. You know, I think I think everyone on the air listening, either in studio or out in the listening audience, has someone in their family or even themselves that have suffered with addiction, anxiety, or depression, or all these things that so many people suffer from. So, how did your social anxiety stunt your personal growth and contribute to your addictions?
So in the end game, what the alcohol started as a social lubricant, as that crutch, as that, like, when I drink, I become the person that I feel like I should be, the life of the party, the jokester, talking to girls, all the stuff that goes along with, you know, being an outgoing person. But when I with my social anxiety, I felt always not enough. The conversation in my head was like, you don't belong here. You're a fraud. No, you're not cool enough to be here. Like, what did you name a not enough conversation? That's what my brain would tell me.
Wow.
So in order to blunt those conversations, you know, I found alcohol. And when I got to college, and it turns out that for a long time, it was my blanket, my security blanket when I would go out in social situations.
Well, yeah, I think everybody's experienced that. I know I have. I've been in social situations where I felt that way, and everyone has their insecurities. But you know, what were the physical and emotional consequences of your alcoholism and drug use?
So the emotional consequences are that that using that as a security blanket, it convinced me that alcohol was my freedom. That being drunk was freedom to me, because I felt like I was in prison for my thoughts all the time. So I thought that the more I drank, the freer I would become. And so really, the emotional consequence of that is that you're actually the opposite of free. If you're an alcoholic, you're the opposite of free when you're drunk. You're building a prison around yourself. You're building a prison from everyone that loves you, from everyone that you love, from any kind of career possibilities, from any kind of emotional growth. I always had a comparison that, you know, like we all draw. We take art classes through maybe eighth grade or something like that in school. And we all basically draw at an eighth grade level, because that's when we stop drawing. So when the alcoholic brain or the alcoholism kicks in, it's when a person stops living, pretty much. They stop learning how to live. They stop learning how to cope. So,
well, you know,
go ahead.
No, I've experienced this in my own family. You know, I had a brother that was a drug addict, and he died from that drug addiction. And so at a very young age. Yeah. And it happens. It does. And it is painful for the family. So what happened to your family dynamics because of your drinking and drug use?
So there was a ripple effect. So there was an immediate effect of, like, my behavior on my family on, like the distrust, the lies, all that stuff. And then the family members start to almost pick sides. You know, they either side, they team with the addict. The addict becomes the scapegoat for some people. Some people look at the addict as the black sheep. And so it not only does it like create barriers around the addict from the family, it created barriers from me, from my family. It created wedges between different family members because they had different views on it.
Mm-hmm.
So there was like a constant, you know, swirl of just distrust and loyalties being tested. And then, you know, the lies and like, I don't believe what he's saying, or I believe him this time, like how's Sam doing? It becomes a constant conversation.
Well, yeah, I remember with my brother, I used to get really upset with my parents because I felt like they were enabling him, you know, over and over again. And there was a lot of financial consequences that I had to pick up the slack, you know, for my mom and dad because they were aging and I used to get very angry about it. So it does cause a lot of disruption in a family dynamic. It does. So what is your life like now post addiction, dating, you know, socializing, sports events, holidays? What is it like for you?
Well, the social anxiety, if I was to say it was 100% gone, would be untrue. But however, I have gotten myself to a point where I'm good enough with myself. I put enough time into sobriety. I've done the work to realize that all that not enough conversation, it's when you have anxiety, it doesn't come from anywhere else. Mm-hmm. It comes from inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
So once I can realize that it's just myself telling me stories to keep me in a box, that I feel safe in. And to be honest, when going to all those events, like one of the dates in particular, was always like, how are they going to judge me? They're going to judge me because I'm not drinking.
Right.
And the truth of the matter is, like social events, like everyone there that's not an alcoholic doesn't think about everyone else drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Only the alcoholic that's there is the one thinking about not drinking and everyone judging them for not drinking.
Mm-hmm.
So once I got over that mental hurdle and realized that, like, if I'm usually there with really close friends. I'm usually doing whatever those social events are with really close friends, and they just want my company. And to be honest, they don't like the drunk version of Sam.
Yeah.
And so once I got over those hurdles and realized that drinking was actually selfish, like, I might feel better when I'm drunk, but no one else around me likes me when I'm drunk. So, you know, in reality, I'm just doing more and more divisive stuff to distance myself from everyone that cares about me. So once you get over those mental hurdles of, like, first of all, no one really, really cares that much that you're not drinking, and second of all, that all they want is your company,
mm-hmm.
those are two huge hurdles.
Is there any more takeaways from your journey, Sam? I'm looking at one here that I'm hoping that you'll read to our audience because I feel that it's very powerful. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Give me a hint.
Life becomes...
Life becomes amazing.
Right. When you face your fears and conquer them, and that's what you've done, and you're working on it daily, you know, open to everything and attached to nothing, right?
Yeah, face your fears. I mean, seriously, like, there's nothing. Fear, I heard a great thing a couple weeks ago, that the fear and faith have one thing in common. They're both based on something that hasn't happened yet.
Mm.
So if you can shift from, like, the fear of, like, this is going to be terrible, everyone's going to hate me, to the faith that this is going to be amazing, like, people are going to like me,
mm-hmm.
and I'll be okay if they don't. Just shift from the fear to faith, because really, it's based on something that hasn't happened yet, so you have no idea.
Well, and I love what you wrote. I'm going to read your Instagram, and then we're going to go to break. From Telos Lifestyle, Sam wrote, "A happy life cannot be without a measure of darkness. Even the word happy would lose its meaning if it were not balanced by sadness. It is far better to take things as they come with patience and an open heart." What beautiful words, and thank you so much for jumping on the air with us today, Sam. It's been a pleasure.
Bernadette, thank you so much for having me again, and I look forward to the next time.
Yeah, I look forward to speaking with you again. So we'll talk to you soon. Have a great weekend. Everyone, stay tuned. Sean Wells is coming up, the top 10 supplements when you're over 40. We'll be right back. One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. KetoMed, ketogenic metabolic nutrition. Use the code OLR for $40 off and free shipping. KetoMed.com. Honest Hemp. Happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
You wanna.
Sean requested this song.
You better work, B.
Well, you don't have to worry about that with this B, because this B, Byrne, I'm a worker.
A mighty bee.
I'm a mighty bee. They used to call me the mighty ant. That was my nickname for years during the... never mind.
The thing I like about the song is that she's saying, like, you want stuff? That's really cool.
Right.
Good for you. If you want stuff, you better go out there.
You got to work for it.
And work.
Yeah, you do.
Nothing just happens. Like, she mentions her attractive body. She mentions the money.
The Bugatti,
the Maserati, the trips to France. Like, it doesn't just happen.
It doesn't just happen. And I'm not so sure that's what really makes you happy at the end of the day anyway.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, I miss driving over 100 every day. I really, you know, my Subaru, I love it. I took it up to 83 last night when I was going home, and I wanted to go, of course, I don't think it's a, I've had it up to 100 on the freeway going to Norman, but you know, I don't do it regularly in that car. It's not meant to drive like that, but I do miss my Porsche.
I took you 130 on the service road.
I know you did.
What?
I know you did. I know. You know what?
We were on the service road.
You need to take me for a ride, Shelley, if it's okay with you. That's his wife. Because I miss going over 100. There's something about it that just really, or 130 in your case, Sean, with your car.
Let's go.
What's the car that you have, by the way?
It's a BMW M6 Competition Edition.
And you know,
with stripes.
Yeah, with stripes. And it's
right
fast. It's extremely fast. It's right down there, yeah. Next to Telos. You going to work out after?
Yes.
Yeah, with Daniel?
Charlie.
Oh, Charlie is yes. Charlie's been on the show before. Mm-hmm. And he's been in studio with us. But it's great to have you in studio with us. If you're just now joining us, I'm in studio with Sean Wells. He is a registered dietitian, certified sports nutritionist, and fellow in the ISSN. That's the International Society of Sports Nutrition. He has his master's of public health in nutritional biochemistry, and he has been dubbed the world's greatest formulator of nutritional supplements. Sean has been on television, documentaries, radio, podcast, and spoke on all stages all over the world, and he is one of the most respected experts in supplements, nutrition, keto, and biohacking. He has used keto, fasting, supplements, and biohacking to overcome a pituitary tumor, autoimmunity with hepatitis, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, Hashimoto's, and Epstein-Barr, along with depression, obesity, and more. And now he's here to help you. And you've been through a lot. You really have. You can find Sean at seanwells.com or on Instagram at zonehalo. Today, we're talking about the top 10 supplements when you're over 40. Okay, Sean, we're all aging. You know, that's just part of the process of being on this planet. And so as a master formulator, you know, take us through your top supplement picks to have us all feeling and looking our best.
Yeah. So right off the bat, creatine. So you probably think that's for bodybuilders and, oh, that's like something for your muscles. And it does help with maintaining lean body mass. But as we age, we actually lose lean body mass, right? Like it's called sarcopenia as we get older. So it's a really good thing for muscle mass, but it also helps with bone mass. It also helps protect the brain. And we have the traumatic brain injuries that we go through throughout life. Every time we hit our head, every time we go through depression. I mean, there's all kinds of, like, sometimes there's physical insults to the brain, but sometimes there's emotional insults to the brain that change the shape of the brain, the neuroplasticity of the brain, the wiring of the brain. Yeah. So,
and creatine helps with that?
Creatine helps with that.
We've covered it before, but not in this depth. And this is one of my favorite supplements personally. We've talked about it for many, many years with Dr. Joey. He's also, you know, with the ISSN. He's one of the founders. And of course, Sean is a fellow in the ISSN. That's the International Society of Sports Nutrition. And so creatine, though, has a lot of, what do I want to say? A lot of... I'm using my hands to describe what I'm trying to say. Like, just a lot of stuff surrounding it. For example, a lot of women don't like to use it because they say it makes them retain water, right?
Yeah.
And so what's the correct dosage for men and for women? Is it different?
Yeah, well, I think so. It's more like dependent on your body weight. And I would say that you don't need to load on it. Like, you know, when it first came out, guys were, because they were seeing results with it, bodybuilders were using 20 grams a day and all this stuff. And you don't need that much. You only need to take like 1 gram, 2 grams, 3 grams a day. Like,
so how much is that, like in a, like an eighth of a teaspoon? Like, because I put it typically, and I do kind of like you sprinkle, you stop, like when I'm making my Sun Warrior protein shake in the morning. So
like
how,
half a teaspoon.
Oh, that much. Okay.
Yeah.
And well, that won't puff me up because I don't want to be puffy, John.
Mm-mm, no.
No girl wants to be puffy.
No, you won't be puffy. But going on next, alpha-GPC, that's my favorite form of choline. And most people, especially vegans, if you're not having eggs or you're not taking a choline supplement, they've found that typically you're choline deficient. And choline is really important for brain health, specifically making acetylcholine, the neurotransmitter.
Okay.
So
are there any other foods that it's in besides eggs?
That's by far and away the highest. Like, mm-hmm. There's nothing that's even really close. There are some that have it. It's a B vitamin.
Okay.
It is present in some other foods. But, like, one of the reasons, like, that egg yolk is so potent with, like, it has phospholipids, it has other B vitamins, it has the choline, like, egg yolks are just super potent mm-hmm. for brain health.
Well, and if you're listening right now live, or if you're listening to the podcast later on after we put it on our website and on our podcast, whatever you call them. What do you call them?
Podcasting sites?
There you go. When we put it up, we're going to put this in our newsletter so you can get it from oneliferadio.com. And so sign up for our newsletter. It'll be in here, all of this information that we're talking about. So number three is tea, creen, and
dynamine.
And dynamine. Okay, so what are these?
So these are theacrine and methylliberine, and they're in what's called the methylxanthine family, which is caffeine is one of. So it's in that same family as caffeine, but the cool thing is these ingredients. And by the way, I brought these to market, so, you know, some self-promotion here. But they're really ingredients in that they don't have the what's called the habituation or adaptation effect of caffeine, which is basically, you know how caffeine, like the more you use it, the less effective it gets.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was a study with mice where after 3 days, the same dose of caffeine got them to baseline. It didn't give them like the surge of energy. Mm-hmm. It got them back to baseline, to where everyone else is, mm-hmm. like that's not having caffeine. So when you see someone in line at Starbucks and they're like, they're fiending for the caffeine, it's real. It's like a physiologic dependence just to get to baseline, not to get energy, just mm-hmm. to get normal.
I'm thinking of little mouse coffee cups.
Yeah.
Like the martinis, the martini.
And the barbells.
And the barbells with Dr. Jacob the other day talking about alcohol and exercise. Okay, so a curcumin. I took mine this morning.
Awesome. Okay. Awesome ingredient.
So amazing. Sun Warrior actually put out a post today on Instagram about all the benefits of curcumin.
There's 3,000 studies and preclinical investigations on this ingredient. It's amazing. There's so much data on it. A huge part of it is around inflammation, blood flow, but you're seeing improved recovery, antifungal, antibacterial, antioxidant, antiviral, anti-inflammatory. It works with cancer, joint health, blood sugar issues, infections, osteoarthritis, Alzheimer's. I mean, we're seeing just so mm-hmm. much benefit from it. One thing I would say is you have to look at the solubility of it, and there's forms like Mariva, which is
That's what I took, the thorn one, the thorn that's on our website at oneliferadio.com/thorn. It is one of the best ways to get your turmeric. It's also, so let's clarify that, because people are like, wait a minute, turmeric, curcumin.
Yeah, are they the same?
People get confused all the time because curcumin is actually the active component in turmeric, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So there's curcuminoids that are present in turmeric, the herb. So when you get a supplement, typically it's about 95% curcuminoids. And curcumin is the main one, but there's like tetrahydrocurcumin, there's dihydrocurcumin, there's other forms of curcumin, but that's the main one. So that's what you want to look for. And if you're just having the herb, with your meal than have it with a fatty meal with oil. And they've also shown that black pepper enhances its absorption too.
Right. Well, aren't they often formulated with black pepper
yep.
so that you're assured that you get that right combination so that you get the biggest bang for your buck or the most effectiveness?
Exactly. Yep.
Okay. And number five, berberine. We've covered this at length.
Huge.
This is an incredible supplement. Go ahead,
yeah,
Sean.
One of my absolute favorites. It's been shown to be as effective as metformin head-to-head, and that's a glucose disposal agent, which means it's really effective at lowering blood glucose and enhancing insulin sensitivity for like type 2 diabetics typically. But anti-aging people have found this is a powerful drug for anti-aging because so much aging is related to elevated blood sugar, elevated insulin that's chronically elevated, mm-hmm. and that leads to elevated inflammation and mitochondrial dysfunction and all the stuff we've talked about. So it's really potent for anti-aging. I think everyone should have berberine. It's super important, not just people that have blood sugar issues.
Right. Again, so, you can get it from Thorn as well.
Thorn.
And
yep.
then ashwagandha. I love saying that word.
Yeah.
We've got about a minute. And we're gonna put this in our, don't get wigged out because we're going to have it in our newsletter if you're missing it. And we may even talk some more about it the next time Sean's on the show.
My two favorite adaptogens, which help you with blood pressure, sleep, energy, like feeling great, like blood glucose, like just... adaptogens just normalize you, make you feel better, make you think better, make you sleep better. Rhodiola, rosea, ashwagandha. Definitely look into those. And I believe Thorn has those as well.
They do. They do. Yeah. I took mine this morning. My adaptogen was rhodiola this morning, not ashwagandha. And then you've got DHA on here. And,
yep. Fish oil.
Mm-hmm. And fish oil. And mm-hmm. we're missing one. The ketones.
The ketones.
Exogenous ketones.
And then the last
the
one.
The probiotics, prebiotics.
The probiotics and prebiotics.
Ooh,
yep.
I've got some good ones. Sun Warrior makes a great probiotic. And then also... goodness, I can't think of the
Thorn,
name of it.
You got
Thorn
me
makes
one
it
for,
yeah, the one for
after
the,
my surgery.
Yeah, absolutely. So great to have you in studio. We got to go. We're out of time, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. You know what? You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Go ahead, Sean.
Get out there and make the most of it.